Hello everyone and welcome to Bulbacast episode number 12. I am Tissus Killer and we have a decent but short show tonight. Tonight we have Archaic Bulbagarden Webmaster. We have PPN Steve from Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey everyone.
And everybody's favorite BMG mod, Pi.
Hey guys!
And tonight we have AG's 173 and 174 discussion. Have a little review of the album that just came out, Perfect Best 2. A little bit on that later. Some speculation. And, of course, our Q&A segment, as always. Sorry, no call-ins this week. We're going to have another episode for that coming up very shortly. But first, let's get to the discussion of the AGs. We're going to talk about AG 173 and 174, which of course are the two contest episodes of the past couple of weeks.
Yay.
And they're very interesting to say the least. They really have a little more of a background to it than other contest episodes, considering the whole Harley and Rocket Dan situation.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think this whole culmination of those two parties coming into one entity, I think that's really interesting because they have they had it so well coordinated, and for the Rocket Dan to look at Harley as a teacher nonetheless, I think that really proves how much potential or how much confidence they have to have Rocket Dan look at him as a teacher. I think that proves that they have some confidence in him to have him lend them their Pokemon.
I thought it was pretty funny when James actually imitated Harley, because I know that people tend to like those two characters for one thing that people like about both characters is that similarity that they have, their lack of masculinity, so to say.
Well, let's be honest. If they weren't before, there will now be Harley Kojiro shippers.
Yeah, I think there was before.
Yeah, but now they'll be making doujinshi.
Oh, great!
This just reinsures the shipping right here.
Yeah, that and the
there's so much at the end of the show.
Exactly.
Well, that and the thing. There's also the other Harley and a Rocket shipping with Musashi. Yeah, just that was really interesting. I gotta say, I'm one of the few people who always tries to make sure that I don't assume flamboyant equals gay. I try to not make that connection in my mind. But even I found it kind of surprising when the two of them started acting shippy. Not because of sexuality or anything, just that I never thought of that before.
Well, it definitely takes an interesting spin on the whole shipping purpose right here.
Oh yeah, shipping just got a whole lot more interesting.
We have a whole other perspective here. Anyway,
well, to bring up another shipping point, contest shipping.
Whoa.
What happened at the end of that second episode seemed to me blatant hinting towards something there. And she was more concerned with Harley than... not Harley. With Shu than she was with her friend.
Mm-hmm.
You see him in her possible spin-off. Maybe they're doing something.
If that ever happens.
Development in that route. Same with Harley.
Though with Harley being established as a real villainous figure rather than just an annoying rival, I wouldn't actually be surprised if they could spin it off easily enough now.
Mm-hmm.
Another point that I'd like to bring up is that the whole memory sequence, that did not make any sense. Because you got to figure that Harley is about, what, 18, 17, you figure? And what? Haruka is about 10. Yeah, maybe. So how can you have a scene where they're both there, because Harley probably went to school before was even born.
Oh, that wasn't Haruka. That was just a girl that looked like Haruka.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
He's got this grudge because Haruka looks like this girl who pissed him off. Isn't actually that girl.
Well, now that
actually, I wonder how old is. I'm just wondering. I mean, Haruka's mother doesn't look all that much like her, does?
And I think she would be too old.
How old is
same...
Harley? Yeah. No, I mean, because how old is Harley? If he's old enough.
I'm going to say.
And Haruka's mum looked like that at her age. It could have been her. For all we know.
Now I think this really explains the whole situation to me. I had a little misconception there where. That scene did not make any sense to me, but now that you've given me the specific details on it, because I wasn't really paying attention to tell you the truth, all I have to say is this rivalry will actually become more intense as we go along here. I mean, even after the whole Grand Festival, especially into the next generations, because also. The possibility of a spin-off series is getting increasingly possible just due to the fact that all of these events are taking place.
Yeah, they're now, really focusing on some development on her
now,
characters and rivals.
Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen for sure. I mean, the writers could just say, dump the whole thing, end it. But the plot has developed so much that perhaps there is a better chance of getting a spin-off this time than what
it was.
It's
a lot
and...
more possible than it was 6 months ago.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And now, what everybody wants to do, talk about the contest itself. The whole background of it.
We finally get to see what happens when there's a tie.
Yes.
And we finally get to hear the president of the Pokemon Daisuke Club say something besides, "Suki desu ne."
Granted, it was the opposite.
He says, well, he doesn't like it. Sorry.
That actually, I actually had to go back and listen to that again, making sure that I heard that correctly.
Yep, Nye, of course.
Say something different, but it's, you know, it's...
Yeah, Nye is the negative, so that means he doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's just the opposite.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of odd, though, the way that they set it up. I mean, I've had a problem with a lot of May's recent contests. I've had a problem with May in general lately. But I thought it was really weird that they, when the first part ended and it was a tie, it looked like it was slightly more in favor of May, and then at the tie was just her dominating. I thought it would be a little better if maybe they had it slightly more in favor of Jesse and then had May and then had May completely dominate. It just didn't seem very. It didn't strike me as good, you know?
Well, maybe also due to the fact that maybe they didn't want to go back and re-edit the animation to make that scene more believable, because, you know, time is equals money, and they don't want to go and redraw about 30 or 40 frames, or maybe even 100 frames to just move it a few inches. So they're not going to take lots of time trying to detail it, but
anyway,
it looked good nonetheless.
Yeah,
I could decide that it's a tie. Yes,
just on the subject of looks, I gotta say the second episode looked a lot better than the first one. The first one, not their best animation job.
Yes, indeed.
The B team and at work.
Yes, but it's not as the B team as some other things that we know about, and we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
But the animation did look decent. The animation quality reminded me of that 3 Jinx one.
Mm.
That's about as close as I can get to it. It wasn't exactly the best, but it wasn't exactly the worst either.
Mm. Yeah. The first episode was on the worst side, and I think the second episode was kind of more average, but a little more on the better side. I don't know. But I definitely was happy.
Across and we know what's going on.
I was definitely happy to see that the second episode didn't look as bad as the first one did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And anyway, Volus cahootsing going on. Cahoots, I should say. You notice that Harley was relaying instructions to Musashi. And I think that was evident because They've joined forces.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how good the advice was. Apparently it wasn't good enough to beat Haruka, but I guess she was on her own there.
Giving her the battle.
Yeah. Musashi lost. Match over. After the tie and everything. Apparently the tie... I believe the tie was, what, 2 minutes extra? Or what was it? Until somebody lost?
Well, it was down to 0 points.
Yeah.
I see.
They said zero points a lot, so...
Yeah, it was unlimited time, basically. You will do this until someone's down to 0 points because they're totally unstylish or they've been knocked out.
Thrashed.
So it was more of a battle to see who could embarrass the other side by making them make very uncool panting and exhausted breathing and stuff.
Like any get down to the bottom. Anyway, one thing, I really liked James and Meowth's scheme to get Brock, Ash, and Max out of the way.
Yes.
It was clever.
Yeah, by luring them into a box, basically.
And then sending the balloon off to carry them off to who knows where. And then Drew got involved and it failed. But it was still a really good idea, better than most of the Team Rockets.
And he had the Flygon come down and got rid of that in about 5 seconds, falls
to
the ground.
And then they did the whole thing, and then they were smart and put a cage over the top. They don't do that very often. They were using their heads for once.
Well, whatever heads they have, or whatever. Yeah.
And then Brock sent out Fortress and got rid of
it.
Well, that's because Fortress is awesome.
If they were being smart, shouldn't they have put heavy weights on the grill, preferably at the edges where Fortress couldn't try and.
They were being smarter. No one expects them to any miracles out of Team Rocket. We're just happy when they're smarter.
They don't think of factors like that, and that's the problem. That's the problem that's always hindered them since season one.
That's why they always lose.
We don't expect miracles from Team Rocket. They're not the brightest crayons in the box, okay? They're like brown, gray, and...
They're just not complete.
Brown, gray, black, and blue-violet.
Blue-violet
and Wobbuffet? No, that's a little bit darker color anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And... Anyway, all this commotion happens, and Haruka wins, and we got to hear, of course, an instrumental version of Watashi Makanai Haruka theme, which sounded better than the actual vocals.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, madam.
Mm-hmm.
nobody's going to get that reference, but anyway. That's all I have to say on the background, because that's the only notable background music, because that's going to be on the album coming up on June 28th, I assume. There's six tracks going to be announced there, so probably this will be one of them.
I hope so.
I mean, I don't Score want
two,
this
probably.
Thing, I don't want this thing to last like a minute and 50. I want this to last 4 minutes, because
otherwise it might be might as well be a DDR song. And DDR songs, while they're fun, they're just not long enough.
I bet you this song is going to be on DDR game in the future. Look out.
Pokemon DDR! The best game ever.
Have Pikachu on the screen.
I would definitely love to do DDR to DDR.
There would not be enough Pokemon songs for a proper DDR game.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
But you could
there are hundreds of Pokemon songs.
But
indeed.
You could definitely put them as selectable songs on a Nintendo-themed DDR.
No, I think Pokemon...
How many songs does DDR usually have? 20?
No, it usually
I'm
has...
I'm talking arcade ones.
Arcade ones, that's different.
Still, I'm
and
pretty sure that...
I don't see
that...
why you can't include a lot more, considering the size of the game discs we use
There's... The DDRs have been getting longer and longer and longer. They started off with, like, DDRs in arcades or anything, just having, like, 10 or 20 or something. And now you literally get, like, 100 songs or so per game.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think Pokemon in its own, between the games and the anime, could definitely have enough for a DDR mix of its own.
Yeah.
And that's...
Even though I don't play the game.
And that's... that's assuming you only did it with the English music or the Japanese music, like one or the other, not both. If you got both in there, you probably have enough. You'd have way more than you needed to have a DDR game.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be, what, some 50 albums, some 50 CDs released of Pokemon music?
I'll say this. I have several hundred songs, all Pokemon. Games, anime, everything.
Yeah. It wouldn't be that hard to find a decent mix, that's for sure.
Oh, and there's already people who... Pokemon music is really great for remixing. A lot of the original Pokemon songs are great, and so are a lot of the remixes.
There's really nothing else that we can talk about them. It's just a culmination between Harley and Rocket Gang, and they fail at the in the end as they always do.
Yeah.
Harley gets the ribbon. Blah 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 blah.
Shippy,
ding, ding.
Shippy, 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 shippy.
That's about it.
I think
contest F, you know.
I think all of us contest shippers loved that ending.
Probably.
Oh, yes.
Good character development for a possible spinoff of May.
Yeah.
We developed a Harley as the rival, Team Rocket style character, the bad guy.
I've got to say, I know some people might hate me for saying this, but I think this could actually be seen as evidence that this is May's last hurrah in the series. Well, in the series itself, a spinoff is possible, but it seems like one of her big conflicts since at least Battle Frontier, and it backtracks a little into normal advanced generation as well. One of the big things has been Harley. He showed up looking like a character du jour, and he started turning into something much, much more. Now it seems like that conflict is finally starting to get resolved. And once that's resolved, May doesn't really have much of a purpose in the series anymore. I mean, there's Drew, but his conflict with her is starting to get resolved as well, except it's getting resolved in a shippier manner. Anyway, I think this could either be the end of May, or at least the having May move on to something else.
Bigger that and better plus things.
That plus the ending as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have anything against May as a character. I've said this over and over again, but I am glad to see her go. I mean, she doesn't fit in the series. If she has her own spinoff, I'll totally watch that, and I'll love every moment of it.
In fact, she should get her own spinoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's been enough character development for her.
Yeah.
We know she's a good contest trainer.
Yeah, she's...
She's got a rival now.
She's a good character. She just doesn't...
Shippy rival that could actually end up being her partner, like Ash is now.
There's
a lot of things they can do to get it spun off and get her own series.
Yeah, she has so much development, and she's a good character. She just doesn't belong in the main series anymore.
No, she doesn't, because the main series and her paths are different.
Yeah.
She's a contest trainer. She wants to win the ribbon. She wants to do the pretty contest things. Ash, on the other hand, is basically on a quest to become a Pokemon master. He wants to know everything, anything to do with Pokemon. He wants to battle them, win badges, do the leagues.
Yeah. And
on his quest for total Pokemon mastership.
Yeah, and their two different roads actually have already caused conflict. There was some point back in Advanced Generation where Ash and May were actually fighting because one wanted to go to one town for his gym battle, and May wanted to go to another town to go to a contest. Eventually, Brock, the voice of reason, had to step in and was like, okay, you know what, Ash, you can have that gym battle anytime. The contest is only happens once, so let's do that first.
Well, of course, you know,
anyway.
Gotta bring Brock into it.
Yes, of course I did.
Of course.
I mean, of course I did.
Any other way.
I am a Brockaholic.
Yes.
Anyway.
moving right along. I think we should discuss the recent soundtrack that has come out. The soundtrack, The Perfect Best 2.
Oh, yeah, that was just released.
Yeah, it was just released basically last week. And my opinions on the whole album, lots of redundancy due to the amount of tracks. A
couple of remixes.
Yeah, the smile new version, as they call it. The only thing different was that there were singing voices in the middle of there was a singing bridge between the second verse and the third verse, which did make the song a little bit more, you know, mellow, but it still didn't improve the song by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. I was expecting a different version.
Usually I kind of version, a tad bit disappointed in that respect.
Usually I define new version as a completely revamped version of the song.
Yeah.
Just adding a vocal track to make it more mellow does not constitute as a new version.
Yeah, that was one of the problems with Glory Day. It was always there was like all these different versions, and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just two different songs. Yeah. It's two of the same songs. The only difference was that the power mix did not have acoustic guitar, and the synth part of the bridge at almost the end is replaced by brass, which I think gives it much...
Brass is good. Brass is always good.
Brass is always good. I think that's what Garden's been noted for, the brass section.
Mm-hmm.
It
really wasn't enough of a difference. It didn't really strike me. Anyway.
Now the Battle Frontier Ballad version.
Loved it.
Good version, but I wish they would have re-recorded the voice.
Yeah.
Because they must have taken the vocal track from the Iga version, which is the movie version of Battle Frontier, and then just put it to a different piece. Didn't do any real re-recording.
Yeah.
They just matched the music with...
Still good, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It had a whole different tone to it, and I liked that a lot. But still, besides those two tracks and the DVD, I have seen the DVD. And
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't.
Well, the DVD
what
includes.
Clips are in it?
Well, the DVD includes the following: includes Advance Adventure, it includes Sokoni Soraga Arukara. It also includes Challenger. It also includes Smile, the first version only. It includes Polka Odolka. It includes the first version of Glory Day. It includes PSM, which actually looked great because it did not have any lyrics whatsoever. Having it with no titles at all, it looked absolutely perfect. You could actually stream... you could actually probably put a dub opening to that because it has no text on it whatsoever. It's just scenes. And it had textless version of... Still had the lyrics on the screen of Battle Frontier, the first version with the Mew and the Lucario. And finally it had Pokemon Kazuha Yuta with no credits as well. Overall, nice DVD. But I think that's the only reason why would you want to buy this album, because it includes DVD on and have all those openings. Pretty good openings and endings. Very interesting to say the least. Especially for the price, I wouldn't buy it just for the music. I would buy it for the DVD. And not to mention included a Movie 9 trailer, which PM subbed and released. So please hop on that. So in any case. Album, definite buy, only for the two songs. Definite buy, not for the CD, but the DVD. That's my whole verdict on this situation.
Alright, sounds good.
And now, we're going to take a little break here.
To all the fans in the Pokemon fandom, young and old. To those who have been watching for years or just weeks. To everyone from the casual fans to the downright obsessed. To those who criticize the series in hope of seeing an improvement in its quality. To those who always enjoy the series for what it is, rather than what it is not. To the parents of the fans. To the fans of the voice talents themselves. To everyone who has any reason to care at all. This is a call to action. For 8 years, fans of all kinds have enjoyed the Pokémon English dub. Now we stand at a critical period in the fate of this series. The English dub has changed hands, and all of the major voice actors who have brought the most beloved characters of the series to life were abandoned. Despite this, we were reassured that their replacements, sound-alikes, would be just as good as the original voice actors had been. All we had to do was wait and see, and hear for ourselves the new voices in the 10th anniversary special, The Mastermind of Mirage Pokémon, and only after then to judge the imitations. The special has aired. The new voices did not live up to our expectations, and in several cases could hardly even be recognized as the same character as before. The majority of the fandom loathed this special, and few even found it tolerable. And yet, some would rather keep waiting, hold back their judgment even after seeing the special, and let Season 9 serve as a trial run for these new voice actors. The time to wait is over. The new voice actors had their chance to prove themselves as acceptable replacements, and they blew it. Nothing is stopping the original voice actors from retaining their roles. Many of those who worked on the special are from the previous dubbing company, 4Kids. And yet, the new dubbing company shows no sign of correcting their mistakes and bringing back the true voices of the main characters. I will not stand for this. Will you? Now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to save our voice actors. If you do not want to watch Season 9 of Pokémon with these replacements, go to http://www.bulbagarden.net/PokemonCreations/SOVA and join the cause. We are looking for anyone and everyone's help in bringing back the voice actors we know and love. Now more than ever, the voice of the fandom must be heard.
The opinions expressed by Server are not necessarily the opinions of Bubblegum.net or its staff.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take this little time out. We will be right back after this message.
Celadon City, a bustling, thriving metropolis, home to one of the oldest and most respected Pokemon gyms in Kanto. Celadon City, a trainer's paradise, home to some of the largest and most varied shopping and beauty centers for Pokemon and Pokemon goods. Celadon City. A city now under siege. It's been 1 week, one long, horrible week, since Celadon City suddenly found itself alone in the world, a drop of sanity in a sea of madness. Wild Pokemon, in numbers and with ferocity never before seen, have entirely cut the city off from the rest of Kanto and the world, cutting off all means of transport and all means of communication. Only the best efforts of the city's trainers have kept electricity and water running. Already, people are planning for the worst, rationing food and overturning gardens to plant fruits and vegetables. Under the leadership of Nurse Joy, the trainers of Celadon have combined their forces, pulling together to do whatever they can to help the city. You are one of these trainers. Every fortnight, you will participate, together with other trainers, in missions set by Nurse Joy, protecting the city, scavenging for food and supplies, and most importantly, trying to break the mystery of why all this is happening, and how the siege can be lifted. Your actions, your success at these missions, will decide the fate of the city, and of the Pokemon world. Evolutions is a new mission-based Pokemon RPG for the Bulbagarden forums, created by its staff for all of you. The first story arc, Celadon City Blues, will begin, well, whenever we've got enough players at this point. It's set in an original Pokemon continuity, which is probably closest to the world of the Pokemon Special manga series, but draws on inspiration from the anime, games, and other Pokemon manga series for some of its elements. Right now, we're looking for players. We've got pretty much all the people we need organising the game at this point, though if we get too many players, we may need a few more. The game's been in planning for quite a while now, and while we do have a number of people we've already signed up, because of the time of year, of course, a lot of people are busy with tests and other things, and, well, we don't have quite enough people to start yet. We'd like to get this up and running and to show you what we can really do here, and I'm hoping some people who are listening to this cast might be interested. The forum is on the Bobgun forums under the Games Corner heading. It's the bottom forum there, so go in, take a look, ask a few questions, and hopefully sign up a character and join in the game. Hope to see you in the game soon.
Moving right along, yes. What else is there to talk about, besides the thing that we won't talk about?
Well,
Not many people have seen this yet, but Image appeared on the Japanese Pokemon Image boards a couple of days ago. We don't know the source of this. The images seem to have been taken with a camera from something playing on a television. According to the person who posted it, it may be an adult, well, more adult, suggested about 16 years old, Kasumi from a future special. It's really difficult to say. Really difficult. The problem is it does seem to be genuine Pokemon in that you've got the image of Pikachu there in the bottom right hand of the six, in the bottom right hand shot, in the final shot, but it doesn't really look like a Photoshop, but it certainly doesn't come from any Pokemon episode that we've seen. And one of the other characters in there, the only time that character design has shown up has been with the character in the first movie, and that character is not likely to be coming back. Maybe it's just reusing old character designs for a miscellaneous character, but even then you've got to ask the question, well, why is this character here?
Right.
What strikes me as very interesting about it is I check PokeShow every once in a while because I've got a thing for fan art, and while I usually don't like stuff that completely tries to copy the style, I think that the PokeShow stuff is usually pretty decent, if not very good in the case of the little sprite things. But anyway, so I checked PokeShow, and I noticed a while ago that they had something like that. They had an adult Kasumi sprite, and I thought it was very weird because everything else was stuff from canon, and I'd never seen anything with that before. So I just said, well, whatever. Maybe they decide to do something of their own creation for once, or maybe it's something I just haven't seen. But whatever. I didn't think too much about it at the time. Now that we've seen this, I am thinking about it because, like I said, the rest of that they have on there isn't their own. That they have in the section that this appears in, it's not fan stuff. It's canon things. So maybe this really is something canon that we've just that's completely missed everybody's radars, or something that's just.
When I first saw this, I thought it was from some old character of the day, little girl fantasizing about being with her Kasumi on A-chan.
That's very possible. Dream sequence.
Yeah, I mean, from what was said on the forum this was originally posted at, the guy who used the word Natsukashi to describe it, which is basically nostalgic, so it seems to me like it, if it is from the anime, it would have to be fairly old now, but...
Yeah, and it's definitely
still possible.
It's definitely something most of us have never heard about, because we would recognize that if we had seen it before, but...
Well,
I don't know,
if it's a scene we saw however many years ago when we saw the first season, would we recognize it?
I don't know about you, but back then, even more so than now, Pokemon was my religion. I would recognize it if it was something we had seen before.
A 10-second not important to the plot scene in an episode?
Yes,
I don't think you would still remember.
You doubt my memory too much, sir. I remember pretty much everything from every episode up until the start of Johto.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
I had a Cocoa Krispies. Anyway, Pokemon was my religion. I watched it religiously. At the time, Brock wasn't my favorite character. I was much more partial to Team Rocket. I still love them, but they were definitely my tops then more than now. But anyway, I watched it religiously. I was upset for a while because, like, I had Girl Scouts and I couldn't see the episode on Wednesdays, and I actually quit Girl Scouts because of that, because I wanted to see every episode and I wanted to see it as many times as I possibly could. I would remember that if it was in an episode we saw back then.
I think I would too, though. I was and still am a Misty fan, and this kind of would have stood out, and it did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's something that never made it to the States, and I think it's something that somehow got under all of our radars, and so it's currently enigmatic, so I think we're all going to start looking into this to figure out
what it is. Well, that also brings up the possibility that it's Photoshopped or fan art.
Well, yeah, but like I said, it was on PokéShow in a way that they would present canon material. So unless PokéShow went out of their way to make a huge parody, which I wouldn't put past PokéShow, but I don't think they would do it in this way. I don't know. I think that this really might be something canon.
Yeah, true.
So anyway, it's.
I'll have to watch every app to see if it's in there, including the PokéShow.
Or we could just start begging the Japanese people, can you just tell us what this is? We don't know. We're stupid Americans.
Could do that, too.
Yeah. If you don't know, beg for answers. So, anyway, I think that's all that needs to be said about that.
It's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely interesting. I mean, heck, we talked about it this much already, even though I think most of it is just me insisting that I am the most obsessed girl with no life ever.
You just added to your stalker base with that, too.
Oh, yeah. Stop stalking me, please.
Yeah. Oh, moving right along.
Anyway, I think that's all that has to be said about that. Anyone else got anything?
Please, we need you. New BulbaGarden.net page is up. The main page is now up. It looks beautiful. I applaud to everyone that worked with it.
And
it
does look finished.
I know it's not finished. I know it's not finished, but it looks pretty damn good.
So.
Yeah, and also plugging wise, PocketMonsters.net, you know, every single week we have your raw and dub episodes, so please check us out. Because
I don't know what the hell we're talking about in these classes, because you're not going to Pocket Monsters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you need the source, and this is your source for Pokemon on the Net. So please, do yourself a favor. PocketMonsters.net, put that in your web browser. Bookmark it. Write it on the side of a brick wall. Do anything. Tie a string to your finger. Do anything to remember it.
With PocketMonsters.net attached to the string?
Yes, we're gonna probably have the Pocket Monsters t-shirts coming out soon.
Except no substitutes.
Alright, we're back, and now we have Winter joining us to do the question and answer segment for this week. And let's start, shall we? Winter, which question do we have first this week?
Alright, Tropius wants to know what type combinations are you hoping to see in Diamond and Pearl? That's his first question. So I think that's a good speculation.
Let me just see here. And
I would like to see a Bug, Fire, Ant Pokemon.
Ooh, that would be neat. Bug and fire. I'm a fire fanatic, so that's good. I like that.
Let me see. Psychic flying? I don't think we have any of those yet.
That would be interesting.
Do we have a psychic ghost yet?
Ooh, that'd be a trip too. That's a dual darkness there.
Yeah. Or even psychic and dark.
I think Misty had a good idea. She wanted...
He
wanted a ghost and dragon legendary.
Ooh, I certainly see that.
I mean, the dragon's a definite
Diamond
possibility.
Pearl with the dragon moves with dark, also dark type.
They need more dragons. Let's be honest here.
That could be evil Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, And Tropius also wants to know, do you think Nintendo should make a remake of Gold, Silver, Crystal just like they did with Fire Red, Leaf, Green? I don't think they should.
No, because the game doesn't need to be expanded on its own grounds. It's already good. It's already good to what it's worth. It's a waste of time to actually remake the games at this point.
However,
I'd have no problem with them going and using Johto as the main region of Diamond and Pearl, basically having Diamond and Pearl as remakes of Gold, Silver, and Crystal, but not only just including Kanto, but also having Seven Islands, Hoenn, etc., etc., etc.
And I'd also...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'd like to see the Gold, Silver, Crystal gym leaders in Diamond and Pearl, though.
Mm-hmm.
In some form of tournament.
Well, that's going to depend on the gameplay of Diamond and Pearl. If it's gym battle-based or something more weird, like along the lines of Ranger.
I'd like to see more... Basically, I'd like to see the gym leaders doing more than just you go there, you battle them, that's it.
More interaction with your character, let's say?
Yeah, exactly. Participating in more events, like say in the Pokemon Special manga, Wallace is renowned entering contests.
Yeah,
why not change the structure of contests a little more and have you actually compete against recognizable opponents?
I would have no objection to that.
Alright, next up, Nintendo's Theater. Other than Manene, Gonbei, Usohachi, and Tamanta, do you think that there will be other new baby Pokemon, and if so, who? Baby Strike, Baby Kuchito, Baby Berolinga.
There'll be baby bloody everything.
Yes.
They need to bulk out the Pokemon numbers because they don't have enough new animal types that they can go through right now. I mean,
we'll get pre-evolutions all over the place. Yeah. But not many.
We'll probably get new evolutions and more alternate evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I would like to see, the alternate evolutions.
The TCG players, on the other hand, will absolutely hate it.
Yeah, because then they have to buy, like, more cards. And...
Well, no, it's just because you can't really run 4 Vileplume and 4 Blossom in a deck, can you?
No.
No point.
Okay, moving right along. Next one is from Fabovini. He says, back when Pokemon was a fad, how accessible were the Japanese episodes of the anime?
Not very, actually.
Well, they did have VHS. The VHS's were sale.
With the Kanto episodes, basically.
Well, they had Kanto VHS, they had Johto VHS, and they had Orange VHS.
Yeah, how accessible
VHS.
Were they?
Orange in Japan, obviously.
Very accessible in Japan, obviously. Accessible overseas?
No. Probably
there wasn't many resellers of that like there is now.
You could get episodes online.
Yes.
It was very difficult, and because there were only a few distributors, you needed to know where to go. If you could read Japanese, it was a lot easier, but you still needed to know where to go.
Right.
And, of course, back then the quality was horrible. There would have been media files of about 50 meg in size.
Because everybody was on dial-up back then.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult to download those things.
After you got broadband slowly coming in, there was still a problem there because basically the episodes would have been encoded into AVI or WMV, either from a VHS source, which isn't very good, obviously. It's a lot better to encode RAW. And
there wasn't much demand, so people
there was enough demand. There was enough demand in Japan. There was always...
Well, maybe so in Japan, but not in worldwide yet.
Yeah, worldwide...
The anime craze hasn't hit the United States yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably someone in Japan who was fanatic enough to record every episode raw on his computer and could probably, with modern codecs, actually re-encode all those episodes in very high quality, but they haven't done it, so there's not really much we can do. Though then again, they could just pull all the episodes that are being replayed on other networks in Japan, so meh.
Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, not very accessible at the time.
Okay, two final questions here from Work That Skirt. Winner, you could probably answer the first one. Do you get any reward for defeating all the Frontier Brains in Emerald?
Yeah, I actually answered this for him. For getting all the silver badges, you get a Lancet Berry. And for getting all the gold badges, you get a Starf Berry and an extra star on your trainer card.
What, a single berry?
Yes.
The only way you can get it, though.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess rare. You can farm that berry.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I could probably answer this one. Is there anything an older fan in the New York City area can do to help save the dub actors through the proximity of the Pokemon office in New York City? Simple answer to that.
No.
Both of you offices. Yes, simple answer to that is no. Both of you offices, actually two out of three offices that I know of, are on 47th Street. One is on 8th Avenue, and the other one's on Madison, if I recall correctly. And the other office is on 23rd Street. And sadly enough, though, won't be able to do anything. You're not going to get past the front desk. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly go over Misty's question without reading the whole thing.
Okay.
Yes, Misty, Pokemon would probably benefit from becoming a slightly mature series, but in my opinion, they would have to look to something such as Dragon Quest to make it more oriented, you know, for a better audience. Because I think if they took the Final Fantasy route, it would kill the series. And I don't mean to say that in the format of, you know, me hating Final Fantasy, but if you look at the later Final Fantasies, it's become a little bit too focused on the characters rather than the actual plot.
Actually, I kind of have something to say about that. Personally, this is my response to something that they said, actually. I like where the maturity level is, because what they wanted to do was not make a series for children, despite what everybody thinks.
Yeah, I just mentioned this while you were out, actually, Pi. I mentioned, in Japan, it is a family series, not a children's series.
Yeah, I read this great interview that phrased it so well. It's that they wanted to make a series that was simple enough that a kid could enjoy it, but fun enough that everyone could enjoy it. The only problem is, here in the States, we get the impression that if a kid can understand it, it's for kids. That's how our mind works, which is actually
how
kind of sad. Yeah, it's very sad, actually, because a lot of the older fans will tell you it is easy for an older fan to enjoy it, even if it is simple enough that a little kid could. It's really kind of sad. They even compared it in the interview to fairy tales. I mean, it is true. We tend to think of fairy tales as a kiddie thing, when really there's a lot of interesting things about fairy tales. And
they're very violent.
They were dumbed down because they didn't want children knowing about them. Grimm's fairy tales are not
for children. Oh, I love Grimm's fairy tales.
Oh, God, they are...
They're gruesome.
...and nasty and extremely...
But at the same time...
...violent.
And they are the original fairy tales.
It's kind of the same thing. They wanted to make something that was simple enough that a kid could understand it, but something that everyone really could enjoy. I mean, can anyone really... deny the fact that something about fairy tales will warm your heart no matter how old you are?
Yes.
And that's our final question. Thank you very much to everyone who asked the questions. And that'll just about do it for Bubblecast episode number 12. I would like to thank Archaic, PPN Steve, Pi, and Winter joining us for a Q&A segment. For everyone here at Bubblecast, please don't forget, send us your emails at bubblecast@bubblegarden.net. And please visit irc.datatunes.net, #PocketMonsters for your episode needs, #Bubblecast, which will be open 1 hour prior to every single Bubblecast, and #Bubble Garden, because everybody wants you there. It's our main chat for Bubble Garden, so please do yourself a favor and go there. For everyone here at Bubblecast, I'm Jesus Killer, and we will say goodnight, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Down there, Mina.